Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's message series, Invisible. But first, here's his message, The Church.
Today I want to speak to you about God's church. God's best hope and last hope for this world, for this generation, is His message proclaimed through the ministry of local New Testament churches. Churches like the churches of the first century. If you would begin finding Acts chapter 2, we will discover there in the very beginning of His church the pattern for what our church and every church should be. Unfortunately, instead of being a force, so many churches are a farce. Superficial rather than being supernatural. But the church of Jesus Christ should be a place full of people, warm, effervescent, pulsating with spiritual life, a community of believers, a fellowship of kindred spirit in Jesus Christ, sharing a message, advancing a kingdom, not merely advancing a cause, but advancing a kingdom to the glory of God. Unfortunately, many of us, some of us, did not grow up in churches that were warm and vibrant and missionary in their approach. I'm always grateful for the heritage that I had as a young child and as a teenager, for those churches and the people in those churches who nurtured me, for my pastors who patterned for me the life of faith and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But so many people did not have the privilege of growing up in a warm, vibrant, caring congregation. So many went to churches that were boring and bland and cool and calculating and monotonous and routine and predictable. Spent their days looking at their watch, seeing how fast they could get out of that place. And as soon as they got old enough, some of them to get out of there in the 60s and in the 70s, people began walking away from churches saying, I'll never go back there. The church is irrelevant. It doesn't relate to me. The reason being, so many have never experienced a changed life themselves, or they've never seen lives changed. But if you are in a church where lives are being changed, if you are among a people, the church of Jesus Christ, where Christ is so real at times, you feel like you can reach out and touch it. If you've ever been in a church like that, you know what real church is all about. Real church is seen in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now I want you to look again at verse 47. After describing the ministry of this church, their fellowship, the teaching ministry of the church, the caring and sharing ministry of the church, the passage concludes, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now it interests me when I read in the New Testament, they were adding people to the congregation. Later on, we discover they were multiplying as the believers in Jesus Christ, and the church of Jesus Christ was growing. They were adding. I don't know how they did it. They baptized 3,000 on that first day, and somebody recorded the names. Somebody wrote it down. Somebody started the first church roll there in the city of Jerusalem because they wanted to be accountable to one another. They were the body of Christ. They were believers together. And so they were added to the church. In other words, these people joined the church. They were members of that church. B.H. Carroll, the great Bible scholar, suggest, according to his survey of the New Testament, that within the first 6 months of the church at Jerusalem, there were over 100,000 members in that first congregation. They were members together, believers, belonging. to the family of faith. Now, something is happening in modern day America, a pattern among professing Christians that concerns me. Rather than church members, we've turned into consumers. And we pick and choose churches like we pick and choose cartons of milk or boxes of cereal. And people move from one church to another and shop over here and shop over there, become church hoppers. There's no real attachment to the local church. There's no real sense of belonging to a local congregation. There's no priority of obligation and responsibility to the church. And many today go to church if the church meets their needs. And if that particular church doesn't meet their need, they go down and shop at another church that may in fact meet their needs. But there's no real involvement. People are just sort of free floating. They're here and they're there. Go to this Bible study and that Bible study and that group and this group and one church and then another church. Sort of like range chickens. What's a range chicken? I see that on menus. You know, range chickens. I mean, they're just like range chickens. Just moving here and there and everywhere. But never in the flock of God. We weren't to be range chickens. We're to be sheep in the flock of God. And they neglect certain things in their Christian life. Neglect church involvement. Neglect faithfulness to their church. Neglect the ordinances of the church. Did you know that there are some churches that are they're de-emphasizing. There's no priority on the ordinances of the church. Thinking somehow that baptism is offensive, or even the Lord's table, the Lord's communion table, is offensive, and so we wouldn't want to dare do anything that would be offensive, and so we just stop emphasizing the ordinances of the church. And yet baptism and the Lord's table, commanded by our Lord, the two ordinances that He has given His church, are to have a priority place in the family of faith and the body of Christ. Baptism, there's no more powerful demonstration of a changed life than what happens in the baptism, baptismal waters. Why do a skit about changed lives when you can witness changed lives? God's way in the baptistry. No, nothing wrong with a skit, you understand. But the greatest demonstration is a changed life and obedience to Christ through the waters of New Testament baptism. Baptism is the single most important demonstration of the power of God to change lives. It's when we celebrate at the Lord's table the common faith that we share and remember our Lord's death until He comes. And yet churches seemingly want to put aside these things that unite the body and build the body, in favor of other kinds of methods that may attract a crowd. Where are the members of God's churches today? Well, they're everywhere, but in the New Testament, coming to Christ always, hear me, coming to Christ always resulted in people coming into the congregation of a local New Testament church. Always, without exception. To be a member in good standing, in faithfulness and testimony to Christ, belonging to the church of Jesus Christ, is the very heart of the Christian faith. I'm not talking or preaching churchianity. You're not saved, you don't go to heaven by joining a church. But when you are saved, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, belonging to the church is the first step and the priority commitment of that believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves His church. The church is the bride of Christ, the object of His divine love. And so when it says in the New Testament, they were added to the church and the church multiplied, that means that people were committed to that congregation. Oh, I know the Bible teaches from time to time of the worldwide invisible body of Christ. All the believers everywhere around the world unified and ultimately around the throne of God. But for every one time in the New Testament, the Scripture speaks of that invisible, intangible body of Christ. 25 times it speaks of local New Testament churches. Local, visible expressions of the body of Christ in communities. Caring communities. Biblically functioning communities. Like here in the book of Acts, that carry out the mission of Jesus Christ. We're to be accountable to one another. Did you know the Bible tells pastors that we pastors are accountable for the members of our church? Indeed we are. But it's getting more and more difficult to be accountable to members when we don't even know where the members are, who the members are, when the members don't really line up and join and get plugged in and connected to the church. So because we are to give an account to one another before God, because we are responsible as the body of Christ, we should belong to God's church. So I want to answer a question today. Why belong to the church? Why join the church?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Church. At this very moment, there is a spiritual battle all around us. That's why in this 11-message set, Invisible, Dr. Jack Graham pulls back the curtain on the spiritual reality you face each day. Dive into each message and discover the truth about your soul and what's waiting for you in heaven. You'll be given critical insight into how to live each and every day for the things that will truly last for eternity. So call now to request your copy of Invisible on CD or DVD when you give. And thank you for your generosity. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, the church.
Number one, why join the church? Obedience. Let's just start right there. Jesus, in his great commission, our commander in chief, said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Our Lord said, if you love me, what? Keep my what? Commandments. So first and foremost, as a matter of loving obedience to Christ, we are a part of the family of God. As a matter of Christian obedience, doing it God's way instead of my way. If you're looking for a perfect church, as one guy said, don't join it because you'll mess it up every time. There are no perfect Christians. There are no perfect churches. But as a matter of obedience to God, find yourself, join yourself and your family to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And that's the second reason I want to mention fellowship. Fellowship, shared faith, koinonia. Fellowship is not just Coke and cookies after church on Sunday night. Fellowship is the commonality of faith, of life, of love together. It is our partnership. It is our participation together. It is the fellowship of God's Son. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and all the more, so much the more, he says, as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the coming again of Jesus Christ, the closer we get to the day of final judgment. Oh, how more important it is that we exhort one another and encourage one another and challenge one another and encourage one another in Christ. And may I be so bold as to say that if you absent yourself consistently from the fellowship of your church, of a local church, if you are not connected, vitally, visibly connected to a local church, it is wrong and it is sinful. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Folks, there's not anybody that loves sports and ball and football and baseball, any kind of a ball you can name just about. I watch it. But how can we invest our time watching things that will pass away when the church of Jesus Christ is gathered? Somebody is waiting for you. Somebody needs you. There's a word from God that the preacher may say that will touch the point of your need and draw you to Christ. Someone will come to Christ as a result of your witness. Maybe the pastor would be encouraged if you just showed up. Fellowship. There's nothing on earth more important than the gathered people of God praying together, sharing together, giving together, loving together, growing together, crying together, repenting together, worshiping together, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ together. That's fellowship, and we ought to be a part of it every time we have it. Fellowship is more, of course, than just attending services. Fellowship gets deeper below the service. That's why we break up these large congregations of worship into smaller groups and caring, nurturing fellowships where people can look one another in the eye and lift one another up and visit each other in the hospital and pray for one another when we're hurting. Now, there was a time, some of us remember growing up in churches, if you ever had a problem, you wouldn't dare mention it at church. I mean, church was the last place you would ever admit you had a problem in your life. But a biblical fellowship is a place where you can share your hurts, you can share your sorrows, you can share your pains, you can share your struggles, you can share your temptations and get accountable to someone and ask someone to help you and ask someone to pray for you. It is fellowship that grows deeper and deeper than mere surface friendships. There are friendships in the body of Christ that are unlike anything in this world. There is a love, an outrageous love in the fellowship, the real church of Jesus Christ, that is overwhelmingly warm and needed. Fellowship. Be a part of the fellowship of God's church. But not only that, there's another word that I want to mention, another reason to belong, and that's authority. Now, we don't like the word authority. We don't want to be responsible or accountable to any authority, it seems, in our times. And yet, in the New Testament, there was authority in the local church. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we don't have time to read it, but write it down. Look it up when you get home. Hebrews 13, verse 7, and also verse 17 speaks of the leadership, the aggressive, bold leadership of the man of God, the pastor of the church. And I would simply say that the authority of the pastor in the church is not the authority to say, well, that wall ought to be pink and that wall ought to be blue and you go over here. It's the authority of the Word of God. It is the authority of the proclamation and the call and the anointing of God. When there is a God's man in God's pulpit opening God's book with God's Spirit, the people know it and He knows it. And you don't have to struggle. Any pastor that runs around demanding to be in charge isn't in charge, I'll assure you of that. But there is an authority within the body of Christ, an accountability one to another. And therefore, we ought to belong. We ought to get ourselves under spiritual authorities, not to get under the spiritual authority of the Word of God, not to get under the spiritual authority of the Church of God, is to make yourself vulnerable and to make yourself absolutely wide open to temptation and spiritual problems without the protective covering of spiritual authority. We're to partner together in the preaching of the Word. And spiritual authority is a reason that you should be in the church. Next, identity. Identity. Number four is identity. You, as a Christian, you're called a Christian. That means little Christ. We bear the name of Jesus Christ. We are His body. We are His bride. He is not ashamed for us to wear His name. The question is, are we ashamed to belong to His church? Are we ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ? Do you realize every time you pull out of your driveway, drive down your street, attend the worship of your church, that people around you know that you are identified with Jesus Christ? I remember hearing years ago about the dear lady who came to church. She could not hear. She was deaf. She could not see. She was blind. They asked her, "Why do you go to church every Sunday? You can't see. You can't hear." She said, "I just want the world to know whose side I'm on." And every time you meet with the people of God, you let the world know, your neighbors know whose side you're on, that you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me what people are a part of. The things that they believe in, they join. And people are a part of all kinds of organizations because they believe certain things. Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, belong to His church. Be a part, a vital part of His body. Number five, loyalty. Now there's a word we don't hear much. Loyalty. That's one of the most important lessons you can teach your children. But we don't hear much about loyalty, especially loyalty to the church. And if the church doesn't ring my bell, or if the church doesn't meet my needs, if we don't feel like coming, if we don't feel like attending, if we don't feel like going, if we don't feel like serving, so what? What happened to loyalty? We just don't think like that anymore. And it grieves me that we don't think like that anymore. Somebody needs my prayers. Somebody needs my encouragement. Somebody needs my witness. Somebody needs my faithfulness. Loyalty to Jesus Christ. Next is ministry. Ministry. They're gifts that function within the church. We're to live with unselfish love. The pastors of the church are to equip one another in the body of Christ to serve. And it is grievous when we see people that won't serve. They won't get in the church and really be a part of the church. Read when you get home in Philippians of Epaphroditus. Paul said he nearly died serving the Lord. He nearly died, Epaphroditus, serving the Lord. Because of his faithfulness to God. You know, we think, well, I'm just too tired to serve, or I may not be there. I can't take that assignment. I can't take that responsibility. God, help us to learn how to pour our lives into the service of Jesus Christ. Finally, there's witness. Witness. When we're together as Christians, as the church of Jesus Christ, our witness is strengthened. You know, when people know you're a member of this church, that's a witness. The credibility of the church, the message of the church. For most of us, we have always worshiped in a church. And here I'm talking about the buildings. But we've all worshiped in a church that somebody else built. And there's nothing wrong with that, you understand. But in my experience, just growing up, First Baptist Church, Conway, Arkansas, wonderful, wonderful church. Somebody else built it, stood on their shoulders and enjoyed the blessings of God. Sagamore Hill Baptist Church, wonderful. I enjoyed it. All the churches that I've pastored, the buildings were there. We're here today at Preston Wood. And I'm simply saying that all of us are blessed to be here because somebody was committed, somebody was called, somebody chose to say, "Let the church be the church." And now is our time. Now is this time to be God's church. And it takes people who will be willing to be on the firing line to the glory of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Church. Money, cars, houses, even careers. Every single one of these trappings of success will one day fade away. In this 11-message series, Invisible, Dr. Jack Graham pulls back the curtain on the rich spiritual reality of the world around you and shows you how to win your spiritual battles and to live each day for what really matters. This insightful 11-message set is our special thanks for your gift today to help more people hear the love and truth of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So call today to get your copy of Invisible on CD or DVD when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
There are many people today who pick and choose churches as if they were choosing a box of cereal. And because they sort of hop around from church to church, they form no real attachment or accountability and make no real commitment. As a result, they miss out on one of the great blessings of faith and have no real sense of belonging or purpose. But you see, we don't join a church simply based on the social opportunities that a church may offer or because of what our parents did. We join a local church because it's a priority that is given to us as believers in Christ. The church is His bride. It is the object of His divine love. In the book of Acts, we can see that those first church members knew they were responsible to one another for how they lived out their newfound faith. In fact, the survival of the church depended upon their commitment and accountability to one another. And we should be no less committed or accountable. You see, God has given the church a divine mission. The church is God's best hope for the world, and it is our responsibility as New Testament believers and churches everywhere to proclaim the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to have a sense of priority and responsibility to your church, because it is the local church where we celebrate our shared mission and the fellowship of our spirit in Christ together. And as united body of believers, we do more than simply advance a cause. We share the message of God's love to a broken and lost world. We advance the kingdom of God on earth. So Jesus wants you in a local church. And also know this, He's not looking for spectators, but soldiers in the army of God and servants of the living Christ. He's not looking for mere joiners, but for people who choose together to be God's church in this generation until He comes.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful message series, Invisible, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how prayer invites God's peace into your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.